Yes, we're delighted to be here from Columbus, Ohio, and share some work we've been doing this past year, looking at a rather innovative use of technology in addressing childhood obesity among African-American youth. I want to say, too, that had I known the order of the presenters, this is a bad lineup to follow such an outstanding group of presenters here. I only hope to keep you as entertained as the previous group, but I know I will fail at that. At any rate, just moving on to the next slide for some acknowledgments. Again, this has been a rather unique collaboration in the last year, and I must say that my background is really in cancer control among underserved populations and public health. So this seemed like a great tie-in, and I'll mention more about the background, because again, we know the relationship between obesity and cancer, and so this really where the interest stemmed. But this required a lot of support and help from a multidisciplinary team that brought on board some support and guidance from Otterbein University and their Health and Sports Sciences Department as well. But a special thanks and tribute to William White, who is president of Track 3D Fitness in Columbus, Ohio, who actually brought this study forward. I'd also like to acknowledge my mentor and former director, Dr. Carol Mangoni from Marshall University, who's with me here today in the front row to help with any questions and answers as well. And moving forward, when we had submitted this proposal back in February, obviously the learning objectives of our study really centered on looking at factors to increase compliance to recommended physical activity guidelines, but hopefully discuss the benefits of utilizing this interactive technology-guided exercise that I wanted to share with you today, specifically with overweight and obese youth. Now in Ohio, these statistics I'm sure are very common among other states as well, but a third of children in Ohio are obese, and over half of our high school students are not compliant with recommended physical activity guidelines. Now, and to give you a little background, this is fairly a young collaboration. William White actually met with Ohio Health back in October and talking about his technology and his company, Track 3D. And what William White wanted to do is partner with Ohio Health, and Ohio Health, depending on the day, is the largest healthcare provider in the state. We have over 15,000 employees and serve actually about 48 of our 88 counties in Ohio. And William's concept was that he had this amazing technology that really was only being utilized by athletes who were trying to improve their performance, and in some cases for individuals who had some type of physical therapy needs after some type of surgery. And William thought how disappointing that he's reaching such a small percentage. He wanted to give back to his community and wanted to be able to utilize Ohio Health to refer overweight and obese youth, specifically African-American youth, to participate in his program and come to his gym. Well, of course, I saw this as an amazing research opportunity to look at specifically how we can utilize this new concept in exer gaming and active gaming technology to see what impact it had not only on, again, improved health, but hopefully maybe improved physical activity performance. Now, in case you don't know, William White is quite well known in Ohio because he played for the OSU Buckeyes and actually was, he also played with the NFL for 11 years between 1988 to 98. And he started in the Super Bowl 33 for the Atlanta Falcons, and he now lives in Ohio and is part owner of this company. I should also provide the caveat that I have absolutely no sports background whatsoever, and we're very grateful that in addition to providing some great evaluation feedback and community-based participatory research knowledge, Carol Mangoni is here to help out with any translations for any football terminology that might come up during the session. To my family, this study for the last year was known as the Project with the Super Bowl player, and the former, we also were working with Butch Reynolds, a former Olympic gold medalist as well in this project. So that being said, really, again, we were excited to work with William, but William had a very interesting question that he wanted to answer, one that we had not come up with in our project. And his point was, hey, look, we know that if we take sedentary kids who are overweight and obese and we put them in a gym and have them work out for 30 minutes four times a week, they're probably going to be healthier by the end of the study. He wanted to know if, in fact, participating in this technology-guided program, if children would be more likely to be more motivated with respect to physical activity. So this was, again, a much more challenging type of question to answer, especially when, at the time, the two really key leaders of the project were, again, an Olympic gold medalist and a former Super Bowl player. I assure you, even I got distracted in our staff meetings when he wore a Super Bowl ring. So imagine when we're looking at trying to measure motivation, when we have two very famous people being part of the study, we were very sensitive to that. Let me give you a little bit of background, though, about the technology, and I want to share with you about the study design that we proposed. Now, again, what I'm showing you here is what's referred to as the TRAZER simulator. And this is really, again, it works with all age ranges, but with respect to this study, it's actually working with the child's muscular, cognitive, and sensory systems at maximum efficiency using real-world cues and actually movement and performance measurements. So it trains the muscular and cognitive and sensory systems to work in harmony and at maximum efficiency. Now, the simulator combines constant real-time 3D simulations that actually are controlled by the individual's own calorie burning, performance-enhancing body movement. So that being said, typically, and the next slide shows this, within the multiple number of games and simulations that are provided with this TRAZER technology, not unlike other games more recently been developed, where, again, there's a joystick, you actually become center stage within this own game. So you become the joystick. There's a lot more work done within the core itself. And in one example here in this particular game, the goal is to actually be able to jump up and make sure those balls do not fall to the ground, which unfortunately one there had done. So there's a lot of jumping movement here that as well. And you're trying to jump over any of those little other issues and that come along the way within the game. Here's another. Typically, what you'll see within a track 3D center, and these do exist within Florida, within Ohio, and a few other regions around the state and are rapidly growing, is that you typically will have six to eight TRAZER stations. So it's all open. The child is literally right within that video screen and has some control over what type of games and what type of steps to play as well. But it's the child's own performance that moves the progression of the game. So typically it's a lot of competition amongst oneself as opposed to competing against one another. Now, you may have seen in the news, and actually we just saw this over the weekend as well, I guess a lot of comparisons can be made, and even more recently with the announcement of Microsoft for the new Xbox Kinect that has come out. And that technology probably would more closely resemble what we're talking about with the TRAZER technology. But if you look here and just making a quick, again, this is really looking at Wii. I know the Track 3D company likes to refer to their TRAZER technology as Wii on steroids, if you will. And in fact, Track 3D does have 11 patents, and there was some litigation involved in a lawsuit with Wii involving some of the patented technology that was utilized with Wii at the time. But if you see, one of the biggest differences that we see is that the Track 3D or the TRAZER technology is really using more real sports or real life experiences, and it's more 3D based. There's a lot more limited and unrealistic movement patterns within a game like Wii, and this is again comparing with Wii Balance. And the other issue too has a lot to do with the measurement data. Specifically, again, the TRAZER technology is measuring a lot more data related to, again, physical performance on the field and in real life. And this is just one snapshot of some of the data that's collected within the TRAZER system itself. And if you look at this, and if we acknowledge that research has shown that speed actually has three distinct components, looking at agility, acceleration, and maximum speed, the TRAZER simulation actually uses random cueing to replicate this unpredictable nature of competition for more realistic training. So the measurements include that ability to react, to start, to stop, to cut, and to maintain an active stance. Now, again, this is definitely technology we hear a lot within the athletic training or athletic performance field, but it is interesting to note, as mentioned previously, that the TRAZER technology has been used, again, in patients with physical therapy needs and training, and also has been used in studies involving exercise and literacy, and more recently been utilized to work with children who've been diagnosed with ADHD. So the question is, William White has come forward now and has an interest in utilizing his technology and seeing whether or not the Track 3D or the TRAZER program will increase motivation among children who are overweight or obese, specifically African American inner city youth in Central Ohio. Now, measuring motivation, as you might imagine, is not an easy thing to do. And we spent a tremendous amount of time looking at a number of theoretical models to see what might fit best within our own project. Now, personally for me, I highly recommend this very free program called Kyra, and it's actually something that you can download online. And it's really helpful to map strengths and weaknesses, and we use this to map our weaknesses with the theoretical models. It's a program that helps you represent tasks ideas or concepts in a type of a different structure. So basically what we did is that we reviewed 11 different theoretical models, 11 that we could find that pertain to physical activity and hopefully specifically related to youth. And then we looked at 24 different scales to see what we could learn about hopefully a validated study and a theoretical model that was already in place that we could use and replicate in our study. From this work, we did find, in case you're noticing, we were able to choose other graphics. So if there was a smiley face, that meant we could move on then with that model. Of course, a frowny face meant that particular theoretical model didn't really meet our needs or wasn't specifically. A lot of these models had not been tested yet in youth, which is one of the limitations. So we actually centered on the youth physical activity promotion model, which was surprising to us and our background had been around longer than we thought. First introduced by Welk in 1999, and for those of us again in public health education, we're very familiar with the precede-proceed model. But this YPAP model, as has begun to know, really looked at three different levels of diagnoses in developing this model and really centers on a number of different theoretical frameworks. From that framework and from additional work that was conducted by Dr. Rowe and his colleagues back in 2007 in a published study, we see that there are two major components in this YPAP model. They're psychosocial in nature, and they're really referring to the predisposing and the reinforcing factors that we know about from the precede-proceed model. Now, as stated by Dr. Rowe and his colleagues, it's the predisposing factors that increase the likelihood that youths will participate in physical activity, whereas the reinforcing factors deal with more social influences that encourage that activity. So a particular importance in our study design is this other subcomponent under the predisposing factors that really answers the question, am I able? So this factor includes the feelings of self-worth, self-efficacy, and the perceived competence. Now the other important subcomponent to our study actually is under the perceived benefits area, is it worth it? And these factors include, as Dr. Rowe and his colleagues stated, the positive affective experiences such as enjoyment and the liking of physical activity. You see, it really was William White's concept that oftentimes we do see really great programs are developed through our local Y or through different school-based programs, but they're time limited. And William's thought was, well, if you provide an opportunity for kids to just run around the gym or exercise or play a little bit of basketball for a few weeks, and that gym closes or the program ends for the summer, what's really going to keep those kids continuing to be compliant with physical activity guidelines? Is it possible that participating in this technology-guided exercise, that youth could be actually motivated and that the seed could be planted to continue to be able to participate in physical activity programs? And again, as William's hope would be in measuring long-term study, that they're actually participating in sports at school, things that they had never done before in the past. Now, one of the ways to measure the actual motivation that we're looking at based on this theoretical model really falls in within this revised YPAP questionnaire. And this questionnaire was actually developed again with Dr. David Rowe and his colleagues and was used with permission for the study. And it actually consists of 33 different items that refer to a number of different scales. And it's really the, if you look at the first three scales there, and this is, again, the children's attraction to physical activity scale, they're really answering more the questions that deal with the is the worth it question that we're looking at. And then if you move on, again, the parent socialization questions fall more into the reinforcing factors. That was another measure in the study. Now, in sharing a little bit about the pilot study design, what we wanted to do was really look at a crossover study design that actually we wanted to be able to bring in students who could be randomly assigned initially to either the Track 3D group or the control group, which really were going to be students involved in a traditional indoor fitness program. The students were going to be participating 12 weeks in each group and exercise four nights a week for 30 minutes at either location. A fitness assessment, of course, with the approval from a physical exam was conducted prior to admission into the study, and that a physical fitness assessment be completed, again, at time one, and then 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 18 and 24. To be honest with you, we really wanted an opportunity for all students to have an opportunity to participate in the technology guided in the tracers, because we knew that was definitely the appeal of a study like this. We initially had a tremendous amount of recruitment opportunities through churches, but churches that were specifically known by William White. And We utilized his own connections in the community through previous service work that he had done. And the goal was to recruit 20 overweight or obese children between the ages of 11 to 15 to participate in the study. The other exclusion criteria is whether or not a child had asthma. We excluded those students from the study as well. And that transportation was provided actually from the local churches. I must say the churches have been actively involved in the study and were very much eager to participate. But as we go forward with next steps, things don't always happen as they appear. So because we were so excited in February to present our outcome data today, and I actually did email in advance to Dr. Dutton to make sure it was all right that we still come here and share with you our theoretical model as still we move forward to what we consider our next phase in learning lessons, is that the individual church connections were just really challenging to continue, I think, to meet with such an active individual as William White, who had the connections but not the long-term relationship with the local churches. So we're going back again to our basics and into our own Ohio Health hospital system and utilizing our own parish nurse program to help recruit children for the study. We actually talked about reducing the pilot study time frame, again, to see if that might be an opportunity to have more students involved. The interesting thing is that we really wanted to focus on overweight or obese children for this first pilot study, and we had a lot of interest from students, but we had a more difficult time than we realized in trying with that narrow frame of 11 to 15 years of age who were, again, overweight or obese that didn't have some of the other underlying factors that we talked about as asthma. So we've updated our timeline for participation in this study, and as you'll see what those are at this time. So again, we've got contact information that we provided as well, but I thank you for the opportunity to present what we have now as our theoretical model and framework to move forward, and certainly entertain any questions that you have.
I'd like to open it to research, just better, other questions, but as a researcher myself, I think we can all appreciate, we all have a timeline and think about how the research is going to go, and sometimes the best life plans don't always work. So we appreciate the fact that you are giving us some of the challenges of doing some research, too.
Thank you very much.
I open this forum to the questions.
Thank you. I think the question.
You
know, it's an interesting question that we didn't ask and they didn't tell. I do know that Ohio Health, one of the hospital systems, had purchased one of the tracers to be utilized, and actually there is a portable unit for the tracer, which we've been able to take out to show demos with local churches as well to be able to utilize. And I know that's been an interesting question with the Connect that's coming out now, and again, some similar technology, especially with movement. One of the challenges we saw with the Xbox Connect was if you look at the instructions on what's required within the settings of your home, I don't know how many of us would be able to do that, but I know it costs more than $300 for, I'm sure, that technology. Thank you.
It's about $6,000 to $8,000.
Thank you. It's nice. So someone with some more experience in the room with the technology, we might.
And the Connect doesn't need as much space as the instructions say, because we need it Saturday night, and you can make it work.
Can you move the couch back?
Excellent.
I have a Connect here. I'm just trying to find a place to set it up so we can do a demo.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, that one costs about $6,000. I think the latest version that came out is around closer to $8,000.
Okay.
But the earlier ones were around $6,000.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
$1,000. Without the projector.
I think, you know, and we, just if we may share amongst ourselves and colleagues, even though I know this is being recorded, I think for us one of the biggest lessons to learn as a group of researchers and colleagues so passionate about not only helping address childhood obesity, and again working from very different models and methodologies, it was just a challenging year to work with an individual truly for us, I think, so famous, but who was so humble, but had really our colleague was also our client. And I think because of his amazing connections, not only from a fundraising standpoint, but also connections within the community, I think sometimes we I want to say conflict, but we knew maybe what we thought was going to work, but we really relied on, I think, some connectivity with someone who really was extremely famous and how to bridge that gap. And I think those have been some very important lessons to learn from us, and maybe we should form our own support group after the fact and talk about what it's like to work with famous people on a study and how we can better bridge that gap as well. So, yes.
Problem of if you're talking about low income
seems like it's important to ask that these are just sort of part of a researcher's responsibility. Again, I love the theoretical model that you're using. I think it's really, really interesting. So you obviously added some good science in, but there's a lot of interesting questions that you've come up with.
I should only say that it's unfortunate due to our limited time that I did not have a chance to share with you about the additional collaboration that Track3D has made with a consulting company that actually works through a large construction company within Central Ohio, whose sole mission is to look at a holistic approach of how to help communities build what they need to help themselves. Specifically about that, this particular construction company works with local community groups in building churches and building other community centers. And through their planning, they actually develop a protocol and a process and how to provide additional resources to what's needed in a community. Plans are already being laid out with new churches being built and actually building on in existing churches so that the funding's already made available that the Track3D program can become already within and incorporated within the church centers. I appreciate that comment, but know that it is. Sure, I appreciate that.
Wait, question one more.
I wanted to just comment on the question that you had, which is that these technologies are becoming cheaper so rapidly that we can't test them fast enough before they become cheap enough to release. So that's what we've seen with Kinect. We basically have taken very similar technology, and when you scale it up to a large enough production cycle, you can make them very cheap. And our job as researchers is really to test these devices before they go out on the market, optimize their effects, make them as theoretically driven as we can. And then by the time our research projects are done, they're already at a very much lower cost of 1/10, 1/100th of what they had cost when we started our research projects.
Question.
So I just had a question about how you compared the lead. As you talked about the balance board, you just showed that one balance game. You did test a whole range of the games against this other device.
The Track3D company has done its own testing through previous research that's been conducted, and specifically the biggest difference between the Wii technology that was seen at the time was, again, using more of a joystick-based approach, where, again, there is active movement that's being done, calories are being expended, but clearly not at a level where the individual is truly the more active joystick, if you will, within the game. There have only been, sadly, as again, our other presenter has indicated, there's only been a handful of studies that even looked at the effectiveness of even caloric expenditure and any type of active gaming technology. Our question set was really twofold. One was, do we even know if this tracer technology is actually making an impact on health? And then secondly, is it really leading to that additional question, is it increasing motivation? So again, I think we're still trying to keep up with the technology that's moving out there that's becoming so appealing to the mass media.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Smith.